Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday here in the San Francisco Bay. Dan, the Produce Man, here with you along with
Ross, the Produce Boss. And we're coming off of Thanksgiving, Dan. I don't know about you, but it was a pretty nice holiday. If you're listening to us, we appreciate you listening on Black Friday here while you're doing your shopping. Hopefully you're finding those deals and getting all your shopping done.
Or you're in the kitchen making a turkey sandwich.
A leftover sandwich.
All the goodies. Yes, that's right.
Including the stuffing.
Well, yeah, you know, you can put that in a tortilla, too, and make yourself a Thanksgiving burrito. What do you think of that?
Ooh, different. Different.
All right, folks, today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Network and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy. Sunrays snack with impact. All right, we've got a good one lined up for you. So I hope you're not too stuffed. I hope your mind is at ease and is unstuffed. Ross, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Oh, I'd love to, Dan. This lady is no stranger to the produce industry. When everyone is looking about information, you know, I've had the pleasure of seeing Anne Marie present at many, many conferences and venues, and it's always a great time. And we have Anne Marie from 210 Analytics joining us today to give you all the information about 2024 here as we're talking holidays and everything fresh produce. Welcome, Anne Marie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's a new one for me. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. We haven't had the chance to have you on yet, Dan and I. You know, we like to have a variety of things here, and you know, as you're going after the holiday here of Thanksgiving and a couple more holidays coming up, it's a great time to talk about what's going on and how 2024 has been.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I noticed in my store was really fantastic execution on all those holiday displays. And we're all struggling with labor. And the first thing to do is maybe not moving all that stuff around and creating that extra display. But when you look at the numbers, when you talk to the retailers, when you talk to consumers, that is just a massive win where you can just walk up, grab all those fruit and veg that you put in the stuffing you guys talked about and all the sides. And I think it helps people remember all those items, but it also maybe helps getting that one extra item in the cart. And that's something we've been struggling with all year, where certainly people shop more often, but they are really pulling back on the number of items that they're buying each trip. So I think those holiday displays were a great sight to see, at least in my Florida market. I don't know about, we truly span the country today, it sounds like.
We do. Florida to California, back here to the Midwest. So we're covering the United States pretty well for the most part. So I was about right before the holiday, and I saw a lot of convenience packaging. You know, I was at a local Kroger here, and they had actually cranberry relish. They had blueberries, some oranges, and cranberries in a container, along with your stuffing mix, diced onion, diced celery. So convenience definitely was out and about for the holiday.
We saw that a lot too. So instead of only your potatoes, sweet potatoes, onions, etc., all pulled together, there was definitely also many stations with diced onions, all the items for stuffing already mixed together, cut. All you had to do was mix it in. So yeah, that is the way to execute a holiday for sure. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah.
Well, in the stores, especially in the produce department, those cross-promotional displays, the secondary displays, and, of course, large displays, in my experience over the years, is really what moves the product. And, of course, obviously the drive to have good standard produce items in your holiday meal. But I do like the fact of having a secondary display. I like to see a standalone you know, a lot of the turkeys are frozen. Some of my favorite independent high-end grocers around here, which is where I usually shop, have them fresh, but a nice wooden display or cardboard throw together display of some cranberries next to it and maybe some potatoes and sweet potatoes over by the turkeys. And then, well, of course, you can't put turkeys on the produce stand.
No, you can't.
That's a food safety issue, and, you know, you just can't do it. But at least getting the produce to the other areas is always been.
We did learn from Roberto a few weeks ago that they will put turkeys in the produce cooler to take up space.
Different story. Yes, that's storage.
With all the mobile refrigerated units that can very easily wheel around with the frozen coffins that they move around, there certainly is a lot of opportunity to move product around the store. So Dan, I agree. It's secondary displays often leads to lifts of at least 15%, if not more. So that is, I would say, a big win for 2025 to look into if you aren't yet.
Well, and you just came out with October's results. I mean, we saw fresh produce growth of 3.6%, you know, despite inflation. You know, what role is the in-store experience and displays and that coming into play for the momentum going into the holidays?
You know, we all marvel at things like the hashtag cucumber salad and cucumber guy who is driving now for the third month in a row, double digit numbers. And I'm not talking 11%. I believe August was plus 15 in volume. And then September was plus 18. We saw another plus 16 here. So he is moving the cucumbers for sure. But at the same time, when you look at something like pumpkins that come in October, you know, all that sales happens because of those big pumpkin displays that are right there in the produce department, sometimes in the fourth wall, outside of the front of the store, those kinds of things. So I think at the end of the day, online sales are far less than 10% for most categories, including produce. You know, we're looking for most companies about 4 or 5% of total sales at most. So you have to continue to execute in store. And when you think especially about fruit and the visual beauty of fruit and our ability to drive impulse purchases, right now, I think our biggest opportunity is the fact that we have seen more trips in the past year than we have in many, many, many years. And that has everything to do with the fact that consumers are shopping more often to capitalize on sales promotions, but are also shopping more often because they're trying to prevent food waste at home. Yeah. So what better department than fruit and produce altogether to capitalize on all those additional trips when they come in just to buy a few items and make sure that produce is also part of those?
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, as everyone's watching their budgets and looking at, you know, their wallets, you know, coming in, you know, 2-3 times a week. I mean, we're doing it on our family. I'm in the store. You know, it's less basket size, but more frequent trips just because, you know, I don't want to stock up on the week and then have things go to waste. And then as I'm in the store, I'm looking at, you know, the quality of things and the freshness. And if it's not quite there, then maybe I'm only buying one cucumber versus maybe buying three for the week and trying to evaluate those things. And, you know, as we have busy kids' schedules, sometimes things change and we need to pivot. So it's going in and making those adaptations. So a lot of good things there. It's good to kind of see that kind of rebounding as far as trips go, and hopefully they'll see basket size continue. But any idea on what do you think is kind of contributing to some of the decline on the online shopping? Is this people maybe not having as favorable experiences, or they're getting back to wanting to be able to go in and pick and choose and see those things? Definitely for, you know, the retailers, being able to get the customers in the store to get those impulse sales really helps drive more margin and sales, you know, in the trip.
Well, it's been a roller coaster since its inception. Oh, wow. I can't say since its inception. I've got an old Life magazine here from the 1930s where a lady's on the phone ordering her groceries and then they come, you know, in the afternoon. So it's nothing new, but online part, yeah, it's been a real roller coaster in that particular industry.
I mean, we obviously saw the height of the percentage during COVID when everyone was shopping from home. Sure. But I mean, I think there's still favorable experiences on center store, but you know, it's the perishable, it's the surround, you know, the perimeter departments that I believe people still want to be able to pick it themselves. I mean, I know I don't trust folks to be able to look at the dates and grab what I'm going to look at because I find things short dated on the shelf all the time or improperly rotated. So I'm constantly evaluating those items, you know, as I'm doing my shopping.
Yeah, I think what happened was during, you know, really the height of COVID, when we saw massive online sales, it was for two reasons. It was convenience, but it was also the ability to not set foot in the store for those who did not want to be around other people. That reason has kind of gone away. So now we're just having the volume coming in from people who love the convenience of online shopping. They have curated their list of the items that they will and will not buy online. And we see the same thing in meat, right? Where a lot of people will say, well, I might buy ground beef or chicken or something like that online, but I would never purchase a steak online because that's where I want to see the actual product and what have you. And I think we see the same in the produce department as well, where maybe oranges or potatoes, onions, those types of items, they're fine purchasing online. But then there's others where maybe the shelf life is different or they have a specific way in which they like the product, be that mushrooms, be that avocados, where we just don't see that trust between the shopper and the actual person who picks the order.
Absolutely.
So some retailers have done really well in that in establishing, hey, Dan is always going to be the person that's going to pick your order. So talk to Dan, tell him, how do you like your bananas? Do you like them yellow? Do you like them bright green? Do you, you know, have your preferences known? And that's really a way to then grow that online basket because you don't have the bad experiences that end up resulting in no longer ordering online.
You know, Anne-Marie, that's you hit the nail on the head, because when I had Dan's Fresh Produce, I had my staff and myself were all trained very well in fresh produce, pick the orders for the online deliveries. However, I was in a supermarket chain a couple of years ago, and I've told this story before, and I'm in the produce department, and I'm looking at this horrible, this wet rack, dried out yellow leaves on the radishes, yellowing broccolini, yellowing collard greens.
That's how one of the wet racks was earlier this week that I was in a store. I'm not naming names, but that's how it was this week, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I'm seeing this, and it is very common in a lot of large chains. And I see this gal who is doing an online order, and she picks up these collard greens that are, you know, I mean, they should have been tossed, you know. And she goes to put them in the order. I said, stop. She looks at me like, you know, who are you? And I said, please don't put that in that order. And I yelled over to the produce guy who was way down at the other end of the wet rack. And I said, hey, you got any more of these in the back? He goes, yeah, just a minute. And he came out with a fresh box. And we opened it up and I pulled it out. And I handed it to her and I said, put that in the order. And she looks at me, she gets a big smile on her face. She goes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I said, all right. And then she went on her way. I couldn't let it happen. I mean, it's not my place, but maybe it is. I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at is consumer trust. And look, I worked for Wedvan, which was the big, gigantic online grocer started by Louis Borders back at the, you know, back in 2000, late 90s, 2000 was going to take the country by storm. I worked for other home delivery companies. And then, of course, I had my own going out of my store. So people want to be able to pick their stuff out, or at least ask someone in the produce section, you know, can you help me with this? I really think that's a huge, huge part of it. You just can't trust just anybody, especially people just don't know. And the one rule is, Anne-Marie and Ross, you guys know this, if you wouldn't bring it to your mother or grandmother's house, don't expect somebody else to accept it as well.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. That's not bad. But yeah, no, Dan, to your point, though, you know, if we think about the quality of the produce over the last couple of years, we've had some struggles all throughout the country. And it only takes one bad experience for somebody to exit that category, or at least not purchase the item as regularly as they did before. And that's really where, sure, the visual beauty can absolutely work in our favor, but anything that lacks, and the produce you described, can certainly also lead to then exiting that category and maybe trying something out of the frozen department or out of the canned department, or just switching altogether in terms of one retailer to another. So that quality piece and having a beautiful store just continues to be. Roz, to your earlier question, do we need to continue to shine in store? My answer is yes, 100% yes.
Well, and sure. I've been doing some shopping, you know, this past week in the preparation for Thanksgiving, and you know, it's the stores that shine and have the availability is where you're going to return to. So, I mean, you're going to remember sure. those stores. I was in three earlier this week. One was okay shape. Another was mediocre, and the other one was in really good shape. And so it's those experiences that you're like, you know what? They don't always have what I want. Do I really want to have to go to three stores, or can I narrow it down to two? And right. I think the frequency of the trips, people are maybe using the ads for, you know, their budgets and for their wallets. And so they may be going to a few other stores like they used to, but maybe not always. And they're going to remember that experience. They're going to know where their best produce lies and where their best meat, to your point, wherever, you know, what has the best dates. You know, if there's a store that I have to go into and constantly, you know, check the quality versus a store that I know I can get in and out and they're going to take care of the quality, well, I'm going to go to that store that I don't have to worry about it each time, because I don't want to have to worry about picking up something and it being outdated. And I think, Dan, to your point, though, I mean, one of my first experiences in produce was if your mom wouldn't buy this, don't put it on the stand. You know, that was always right. always the thing, is if your mom wouldn't buy it, don't put it on the stand. So,
you know, but we also, I feel like, sometimes look at these things of quality and dates, et cetera, from the eye of the industry, right? But just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine who was describing how she had been going to the farmer's market, the local farmer's market, more often. And then she says to me, but I don't get it. I buy the produce there and it tastes great the first day, but it goes bad like within a day or two. And then I end up spending more money because I toss so much of it out. Which is always the, do you clue them in on where most of that produce comes from, or you know, can you really talk about the quality of produce to a consumer? But I do think more and more messaging that I'm seeing in the store about, you know, from field to the store within 24 hours or freshness guaranteed, all those types of things I think matter, in addition to just being extremely good in backdoor receiving, getting the freshness onto the shelf, and Dan, to your point, pulling a box when it just should no longer be sold.
And yes, the produce lasting in the customer's refrigerator as well. But, you know, look, I have a lot of good luck at the farmer's market. I can tell who's scamming us and who isn't, because I just, you know, I can tell. It's also customer service, but that's a whole different ball game than what we're talking about here. But customer service combined with good quality produce, because I don't care if you have the best produce in the world. If I go there and the customer service is lousy, I won't go there either. I won't go again.
All those factors are coming into people's decisions on where they're going to shop. So anything else you're seeing real quick for 2024 before we take a break and listen to our wonderful sponsors?
definitely the strength in fruit, which I think is exciting. And I think that has everything to do with the fact that we're seeing so many trips, because it's really fruit that has a higher impulse factor compared to vegetables. But on the vegetable side, you know, food service always talks about the plot vegetables, the potatoes, lettuce, onions and potatoes. And in October, that's really the big four that we saw coming on very strong for retail as well. So it really shows that people are back to cooking meals at home in order to be able to stretch that paycheck a little bit longer. And that really means nobody wants to eat the same meal again and again. So how can we continue to inspire? But more than anything, how can we close that gap between inspiration and purchase? Because we all sit and scroll on our various social media and end up tagging all these great looking meals. And then how many do we actually loop back to? So what can we do to close that gap and be the inspiration and get those items in our basket as well?
Imagination. That's what it takes. Jump into the kitchen, use your imagination. There's plenty of times where I've started something and then in the midst of it, I turn it into something else, and it's always good, at least to me. Maybe not somebody else.
No, oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're talking with Anne Marie Roering, 210 Analytics, and we're having a blast here. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you're enjoying your leftovers, and as Ross says, your Black Friday shopping, which I never participate in. Anyway, we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes. Whoa, what's this? Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, sun rays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package pack so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunray's grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
Welcome back, Anne-Marie and Dan. We were talking through the break a little bit about, you know, in-store produce versus meat, produce versus deli. What are some of the things you're seeing, you know, as you're looking at all departments on your, you know, reporting? I love getting your monthly reports and breakdowns. Appreciate that. Always great to get that information and look through and try to figure out what strategies to take for the rest of the year. So what are some things you're seeing, you know, throughout the rest of the store?
You know, what was really interesting to me is when I was putting the deck together for the What's New presentation for SCPC Southern Innovations, I was flipping through pictures. And of course, depending on what category I'm working on, your eye just is drawn to the different items. And I realized that for several of them, I couldn't really figure out if I had taken the picture in the produce department or in the deli department. And more and more, we're seeing just true produce offerings coming into the deli department, and not just your salad bar or your olive bar kind of thing, but a lot of ready-to-cook items like, for instance, stuffed mushroom is a big one that you see both in the deli department and in the produce department. But you're also seeing things like baking potatoes or asparagus with some butter on it. And that's really, I believe, a big opportunity for produce, because we're really seeing the deli department step up as a true alternative to restaurants, where consumers can just save a little bit of money by doing a little bit of the work themselves. But a lot of solution-focused items for those days where time just gets away from you. And that's really where we're seeing a lot of the new trends coming from as well. So convenience is certainly not dead, yet we're not seeing great numbers in value-added produce. And I believe it has everything to do with the fact that we're seeing those convenience produce solutions popping up in the deli. So that's something to keep an eye on.
So not only is it already cut up for you in the value-added, but now in the deli, it's cut up and now it's made for you. And a lot of folks live in small cramped places, or they're way up on the 10th floor and they don't want to have to deal with dragging the groceries up or dealing with the compost and the whole bit, or they just don't know how to prepare or cook. So a lot of these items are perfect for them, and it's a great way to get your fresh fruit and vegetables into your system, because it's there, it's already made for you. I've seen a lot of deli items made with different kinds of mushrooms, a lot of mushrooms, right? What do you think about mushrooms? I mean,
they're growing.
Like, it's, yeah, I mean, all the different varieties. It's not just your criminis and portobellos and, you know, your standard white mushrooms.
You didn't like my little joke there, Dan? They're growing.
Ross, it went over my mushroom head.
Mushrooms is a super exciting category right now, but also a fantastic example of a very different kind of competition that we're dealing with in the produce department right now. So if you think about fresh mushrooms, one of the most exciting developments in all the consumer headlines right now are all those functional benefits that come from mushrooms. Yeah. And oftentimes they're not your regular whites, browns, what have you, but they're all the unpronounceable name mushrooms. And also they're not coming in fresh, but they're coming in those supplement formats. I can't tell you the number of Uber rides or what have you I've been on where you talk about, oh, I'm off to a produce conference, and the guy will answer, oh yeah, I always have mushrooms in my coffee. You're like, okay, different things, people. But to me, it was a really important lesson that oftentimes in fresh produce, we think about, well, what else is selling in fresh produce, or what is selling in frozen and canned? In reality, our competition these days is so much wider in terms of people buying those functional supplements, buying those squeeze pouch things, buying produce shots. There's a million different ways in which people are consuming those items, bars, smoothies, kombucha, you name it. And what's really interesting about that is that younger consumers far under index for fresh produce, but they over index for all those convenience solutions. So that's why I think it's so important for us to be in the deli department, because that is in a way still, we're still getting whole fruits and vegetables in those folks, but just with the convenience that they're looking for.
Oh yeah, convenience is key.
You know, I had a guy that used to come to my store, and he would order boxes of king oyster mushrooms. King oyster, some folks call them king trumpet. Very fat white stem, very small cap, brown on the top, on the end. And I would ask him what he was, you know, why are you ordering all these mushrooms all the time? And one, he would take the stems of those mushrooms, he would slice them and make scallops, mushroom scallops. And the other thing that he would make was a mushroom pulled pork. And he brought me some, and it was out of this world.
It's, is that like the jackfruit delicious. Pulled pork that's out there?
Yeah, like the jackfruit pulled pork, but with the king oyster mushroom stems. He had a way of that he did it. I don't recall the way. He brought me the finished product. And I ran into this guy, Jake, from Fun Guy Farms, last week at the Berkeley Bowl here in the Bay Area. And he is a mushroom grower, small mushroom grower, but he's doing really good. He makes mushroom jerky and different kinds. And he was sampling that out. And then he said, Dan, you got to try this Louisiana po' boy mushroom sandwich. It's all right. So I tried it. And when the person who made it handed it to me, it was like, I mean, this was no chintzy little sandwich. This was nice and thick and had the different mushrooms in. I think there were oyster mushrooms that he had put in there. But man, oh man, was it good. So you're seeing a lot of that, you know, especially with all the bad press for the meat substitutes and some of the things that are going on with those. You're seeing a lot of moving towards the mushrooms. And so I'd like to see the deli department maybe get into that as well. And maybe they will. Maybe that's coming up for 2025. What do you think, Anne Marie?
Oh, I think so. Deli really is stepping into very easy entertaining solutions. That's a big growing category. Yeah. So we just had Thanksgiving yesterday, and I feel like more and more of my friends are saying, now, why would I stand in the kitchen for 3-4 hours? Getting up early instead of hanging out with my family that I don't see all year long. And so Butterball Turkey, for instance, came out with this already fully cooked. You just heat it. We talked about all those pre-cut stuffing vegetables and having everything already semi-done. I really think that's the way of the future. And so when we think about the deli department or produce department, those semi-finished products or something that's already washed or cut or sliced, I think there's a lot more demand for that going forward, especially if the economy starts to improve a little bit. People have a little bit less pressure on income. I think we're going to see convenience come back, roaring back.
We're using some convenience for our Thanksgiving. You know, we had the turkey, mashed potatoes, relish, and other items warm from a local grocery store near where I grew up, actually with the first grocery store that I worked at, Martin's Supermarkets. And then we are doing some of our own stuff because my wife is gluten-free and dairy-free. So green bean casserole, dairy free and gluten free, and some roasted potatoes and some other sides that we're doing as well. So it's kind of a combination of convenience plus, you know, some things that accommodate, you know, the food allergies that we all deal with.
Yeah, that hybrid meal, honestly, is really the way America cooks these days. So more than half of Americans describe their meals as that hybrid solution, a little bit of meat, a little bit of semi-fully prepared. And even now, there's a lot of people that say, hey, with today's restaurant prices, I'll get like the pizza from a restaurant, but I'll get the salad kit or some fruit, cut fruit and what have you from the grocery store just to be able to balance that total spend because, you know, none of us has more time all of a sudden, but we certainly see our paychecks go a little less long than they used to. So there's a lot of that happening.
Very much so.
I can't agree with you more. You know, right now I have a turkey carcass boiling, simmering on the stove. And I went and I ordered from my local guy here, diced celery root. Okay. The potatoes I just cut up myself. The carrots were already diced up, a local grower, Oya Organic Farm. And so I have stuff already prepped, ready to go. So once that carcass is boiled to the way I want it, all I got to do is add in those cut up items and we're ready to roll. So yes, convenience is the way to go, Daddy-O.
Yep, you got it right there, Dan. It's all about convenience. And I think doing, you know, that's what we saw. I remember working in the grocery store, you know, Black Friday was always very slow. You were getting a lot of projects done in your department, but that deli with the fried chicken was popping. We were over there selling that like hotcakes, you know, because nobody wanted to cook. And either you may not have wanted your leftovers or you already had a Thanksgiving leftover sandwich and you just needed something quick and easy. And fried chicken usually, I think, is a big Black Friday item. So, but as really? More people go to online shopping, that could change to pizza or other, you know, easy to fix meals. So,
yeah, well, and I actually think, you know, we've talked about the traditional Thursday Thanksgiving dinner, but big opportunities in all those extended occasions of Friendsgiving, if we want to slap a label on it. But certainly also, what do you do those days before, days after, as we all end up hanging out with friends and family a little bit earlier, because yes, at the end of the day, Thanksgiving and Christmas are the two biggest holidays of the year. And by extension, November and December are the two biggest months of the year. And it's really that 1 week leading up to the holiday. So for a while there during COVID, the purchases shifted a little bit earlier as people were trying to avoid those crowds in the store. I would say the last year or two, we're actually seeing it compact closer into the holidays as we're all sort of waiting out the retailers to see if those prices will drop a little bit as we're scurrying around, taking advantage of all the sales promotions that are out there. So a lot of pressure on executing during the, you know, very tough and busy times of the year.
Well, and I think people are also going back to your point on freshness. They're worried about buying it too early and then it not being good for their Thanksgiving meal. So I think a lot of that plays into, you know, people kind of moving back into maybe stocking up on staple items or the hearty items the week before. And then as the couple of days leading into Thanksgiving, they're going for all the fresh stuff, the mushrooms, the veggies for their platters and whatever it may be. So, but I did want to do a little quick shout out to your sweatshirt there. We talked before we got on here about Butcher Box. I've been a longtime subscriber and have some free lifetime perks in my box there. So, you know, if you are looking for a meat subscription or some options there, check them out. So both Amber
I thought that was a horror movie.
No, it's not. It's not Halloween, Dan. We're past that holiday. I had a subscription with them prior to the COVID, and that really benefited the family and myself through COVID. And, you know, we continue to get our box on a regular basis. So.
Yeah, but you mentioned, we both mentioned meat a couple times, and I think to your point, anybody that's interested in the monthly report you just referenced, shoot me an email. I'm happy to share them with everybody because you're 100% right. If beef sells more, we're going to see different items in the produce department move. We talked about mushrooms, we talked about asparagus, those kinds of items. When times are tough, we see chicken come on very strong. We see grinds coming on very strong. Yeah. And we all know when ground beef sells more than a whole muscle meat, you're going to see different types of produce move along with that. So understanding what's happening in the rest of the store continues to be very important, I would say, in 2025. I'm optimistic. The first readings on consumer sentiment that started to come in from November shows that there is a little bit of growing optimism out there. Consumers, yes, feel a little bit better about the environment today, even more optimistic about looking into the future. We have the highest numbers in 7 years, in fact. And because of the U.S. is so tied to our consumers' confidence and are they spending, that's a good sign for us. So I think the produce department has a bright future in 2025, but certainly quality, convenience, sustainability, and those prices and promotions continue to be very important in the upcoming year.
No, yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. 2025, and it ain't no jive because we're all going to thrive and keep ourselves alive. You want me to keep going?
Sure.
How long did it take you to come up with that?
Colin, you bluffed there, aren't I?
Oh, boy. Anne-Marie Roerink, it's been a real pleasure having you here today on Fresh from the Field Fridays. You gave us some really good insight, and we hope to have you back again.
So, Anne-Marie, if people are looking to get in touch with you, you want to give the listeners where they can reach out to you at to get the information that you were talking about?
Sure. LinkedIn's always the easiest way. Reach out. I post a lot right along with Ross and Dan, and certainly I'm happy to add you to the distribution of the monthly report. So reach on out, LinkedIn, Anne-Marie Roerink.
All right, folks, you heard it here on Fresh from the Field Fridays. And be sure to tune in to the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. Download that now on your smartphone on Ross's watch, but download it on your own watch. Otherwise, he'll be going crazy.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, a tablet, wherever you can download an app to, it's a great resource, and you can listen to the podcast from there as well. And be sure to check out the History of Produce series with John Papp, the Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallio. It's all right here on the Produce Industry Network. And of course, be sure to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. Actually, the YouTube channel is called Dan the Produce Man, and people keep telling me, Dan, you're saying it wrong. The Rumble channel is called Getting Fresh with Dan the Produce Man. But be sure to check those out, and all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com.
And you can find me, Ross the Produce Boss, on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Recently started a kind of a YouTube channel where I'm going to be putting some videos that I've done over the years and different things there. And if you're listening, make sure you subscribe, give us a review, and, you know, follow us. Each Friday, we've got some good information here. Dan, stay fresh, keep growing, and let produce lead the way.
Oh, yeah. And that YouTube channel is called Ross the Produce Boss.
It is. Yes, it is.
All right. And Anne-Marie, thanks for joining us. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.